right? And we used to hear this story where blue collar people in the Western country, especially in the U.S., right, where you can achieve everything and you just made as much as white collar people, you're respected. And nowadays, especially from people like you who are locally grown up in North mm-hmm. America. Of course, Canada is very different than U.S. in some culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it's just make us realize that there's no absolute freedom and there's no absolute equality, mm-hmm. right? I feel like there's no such things like what Americans say. So maybe it's just another story that they tell us and it's trying to sell us. But then maybe finding the small group of community that we can fit into could be one way to discover ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's very much a push from the people who are at the higher levels of North America, especially in the States, be like, work, work, work. You have to make money.
Right.
That's what you're here for. But when you look into smaller groups like the rock culture, things like that, you can really find a way to make your life worth living. Well, that's the other thing. They're like, money will solve your problems. Once
right.
you get to a point where you're making a lot of money, you won't have problems anymore. And that's just simply not true. But if you can be at a point where you have a community that you're enjoying, even if you don't have a lot of money, that's something that can make your life worth living now.
Right. I mean, I agree with you. Money can solve your money problem,
mm-hmm.
but it cannot solve every problem in their life. It's just when we lack of something, we kind of have this imagination or even hallucination to put it in a like ideal land where when we reach that land, everything will be just fine. Every problem will just be gone. But then, like we just said, money can solve your money problem. But then you will have all other problems. Lack of money is definitely not going to make you very happy because it could be stressful and we could be really stressed or anxious to deal with the cost of living. But when we reach to some level, the way to find happiness or find the sense of belonging is really another story, and we need to find different strategy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not so sure if you have an idea of most of the people in the group. Are they extroverted or introverted?
It really varies.
Right.
It's definitely, I feel like it can tend towards introverted. It also depends on the different subgroups. I feel like goth people are a lot more introverted than like dubstep fans.
Mm-hmm.
But being in the group, it's like it breaks a barrier of the introversion because you're like, we have something to talk about it.
Right.
We're right here.
I guess what introverted are not like, I'm just not going to talk to anybody. It's more like they tend to digest their thoughts internally, but then when they find people who can understand them or sort of similar, they can be very expressive. Do I understand him right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I feel like that sounds like it. People, it could be also counterintuitive because like what we see you or other punk culture people, that they are so brave to make their style stand out. It actually takes certain level of courage, especially I would say in Asian country, you are facing a lot of potential judgment and also I would say like social backlash.
Yeah, that's what makes living here a little easier for groups like this.
Yeah, I'd say like, because I'm from China, and I constantly watching news and browsing social media, see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, I feel Chinese society has been more progressive than before, probably because young people do realize that after we got so much more developed than before, we're still feel pretty lost, or we feel like, oh my God, I kind of feel like pretty depressed.
Yeah.
And why is that? And also, I wanted to seek deeper into my soul or something like that. And then, and I cannot find a way. And if I wanted to do this, then I could face the backlash from people who lack of the mindset of respecting personal boundaries, if I can put it that way. Yeah. So what are you studying or what your major is, I wonder?
So I'm in business for accounting. My goal with my degree is to start my own record label, put out the music that I think is good, maybe some stuff that I make. There's been a lot of great record labels, and I really think that's a market that, well, this is something I was talking about with Johnny Health when I interviewed him, but you can put out your own music right now. It's easier than ever to have your stuff listened to by people, but record labels are a way for listeners nowadays to find music similar to what they like. There's a lot of specialized record labels. Some of my favorites are Kitty on Fire from, I mean, they're from here.
Vancouver.
Yeah. Formerly Wax Trax Chicago.
Right.
They're from Chicago, and they were the primo label for a lot of industrial music.
Right.
They were very big back in the day. Sub Pop for grunge. There's a lot of ways for labels to connect people and fans and artists. And that's something I'd really like to do with my life.
Sounds really cool. But could you help us to understand the differences between this record label and the music we're listening to online?
So record labels are basically just a way for music to get distributed. Like Wax Trax would take whatever artist, you know, Pigface or whatever, connect it to the manufacturing plants who make the CDs and the records, bring them all together, distribute them to stores, put on shows and stuff, stuff like that. Just basically audience outreach, ways for people to see the band, to listen to the band.
Right. So it sounds like there's the center hub where musicians send their music, marked as labels or albums, to the hub, and then they distribute to the audiences. Is that the system?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So you said your business or your future business would like to sell these labels and help them to be distributed and easier to the audiences.
Yeah. It's also a way of finding artists and making them bigger. That's kind of the biggest thing right now. If you look at Kitty on Fire, because they're like a label that's very modern. Mm. I think they were only founded in 2013 or something.
Mm.
But they look for artists that have potential and then work with them. And by doing that, it can help the artists just reach out to more people. Like Machine Girl is a very popular band. But one of the main reasons they got really big is because Kitty on Fire picked them up and released an album with them, and that got everywhere.
I see. So that way sounds like a more traditional or classic way. Mm-hmm. But then now we listen to the music on YouTube Music, or we can literally just upload our own musics all the time. So what do you think the competition between those two styles?
Well, right now, because you can just stream music wherever.
Right.
You can listen to music. It's very playlist-based. A lot, like you're listening to Spotify, a lot of people just put on Spotify random shuffle playlists, hear new songs. So, you know, you get a song by an artist you've never heard of before, and you like it, and you're like, this is really cool. So maybe you go to their page, and you check out some of their other popular songs, and you're really liking it. Mm. And you're like, okay, now I listen to this artist a lot. I want to pick up a record of theirs, or maybe I want to see them live, or maybe see if they're doing any special events or anything like that.
Mm.
That's where the label comes in the modern day. It's the second step after discovering an artist.
I see. So it's more like you make your, let's say, business, your brand big, And then you have all these resources or distribution tunnels to deliver the musicians' music. So the musician, and especially for the underrepresented groups or unknown small groups, so they don't have to upload their music to the random shuffle album on the Spotify, but then you can discover them and use your resources and influence to help them kind of get exposed. So I understand it right.
Okay,
so but like because you mentioned that you make music too
on occasion.
And but then you sounds like you really find this is your niche so far and this is what you like, but then between being a business person who is doing what you just described, which I really admire, and also being a musician who just make music, because you know a lot of people just being a DJ, like how did you make that choice or decision, like oh you're not going to go that route like being a professional musician or DJ?
Well, I just don't trust my work to be good enough, to be honest. I don't think I'm friends with people who are better musicians than me, and it's like it's so hard to make it as a musician, and so many people are trying to become musicians. That's a very oversaturated field, probably one of the most. So many people enjoy making music and they make good music. There is so much good music that no one listens to out there, and it's a real shame, but that's just how the market goes, because people only have a limited amount of time to listen to music,
which are delivered to their face.
So if I were to go into that, it would be a lot of time, money, and effort trying to make music, trying to make good music. That's the first step. You got to make good music, and then out of that, you have to be better than, like, I think it's like 12,000. Only one in 12,000 people get picked up by a label.
Right.
So doing all that, it's just a huge gamble. But if I can be the person in the pilot seat, if I could be the one saying, hey, this artist is good, I'm really enjoying what they're doing, I want more people to listen to them, I think that's, I don't know, there's something really nice about being able to do that.
Have the control over
sharing the I mean, that's why I run my radio show too, is I want to bring the music I like to as many people as possible.
Right. Do you think people like, you know, Tiësto or Griffin, who got big, do you think the main reason for them to become big, or maybe other DJs in your area, do you think because they made really good quality music that's even better than a lot of other good musics, or because they also really got fortunate to be picked?
It's all fortune. I mean, not saying their music's bad.
Yeah, their music's good.
Obviously, their music is good. Is it better than all the other people?
Maybe. I mean, we don't know. Like, literally, we don't know.
But it's like, there's a lot of luck to it, just being found. The other thing is dedication to live playing. If you're going to a lot of, even just bar gigs, you go to wherever, playing your music, that's also exposure, because there's a market of people who just want to see live music. They don't care who's playing. But if you go out a lot, then eventually you'll start finding some people who do really like your music. And then that's a way of kind of getting the ball rolling on that side. So playing live and luck. And also being pretty. That's one that people don't talk about a lot.
Wait, does Tiësto or Griffin or Illanium look the...
Well, I don't want to cast my personal judgment.
Right.
But if an artist looks attractive,
right,
they're way more likely to become popular.
And
there's
the
a reason why a lot of... like, pretty much all the biggest artists are hot people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. But, like, I think they look good, don't get me wrong. But, like, they're definitely not, like, stand out because of the appearance, to me, at least.
But it's always a factor.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... you mentioned about, because nowadays people can also leverage social media, right? But then you have to be really, really good. So... I wonder, like you said, those musicians or other people who got funded and they had to rely on this hub, like Hollywood, right? But then, of course, there's a limited opportunities, and we just have to used to have to rely on. And there's something in the entertaining industry in China where everybody hates them. Like, not everybody, everybody. They have their followers or fans, but the mainstream society actually really unhappy about some actresses and actors and professionals in that field that are just so not professional. And nowadays, and people are actually pretty happy that the industry is not thriving because of social media is doing so good, and a lot of other people who put their efforts and talents and heart and blood to make good products or contents stands out.
Yeah.
So I guess that is also a modern way that do not limit people just because they're not as fortunate. Right.
Yeah. The social media has been a big booster to a lot of smaller people. Although I will directly quote Johnny Health from my interview with him. He did say that the being attractive part was big for social media too, because you're putting your face right up there. If you're in your room filming yourself, if you can get good lighting and you just look good, people are gonna stick around for the video. If you're, I mean, like, let's be real.
Right.
You're scrolling on TikTok or Instagram or whatever.
Right.
You see a person you find unattractive. It's a lot less likely that you're gonna stick around and watch the video.
Right,
that's just
right.
how it goes. It's, there's no shame in that, but also it allows people who are prettier to just get an advantage over it. Johnny Health said that it doesn't matter what kind of music you staple to it. If you're good at social media and you look good, you can get noticed tomorrow.
I see. I guess not necessarily tomorrow, but I understand
what you mean.
But like, I think you just reveal some real interesting something is just like we haven't talked about it, or I haven't thought about it, because we thought, oh, it's definitely more equal than before, because before you have to go to Hollywood, but now you can literally stand out, and you just get your audiences directly through social media, and not absolute freedom, but then you definitely have a lot of
It's a lot easier to break into it.
Right. However, if you are a professional musician, let's say, to be able to stand out on social media, you still have to spend some time and energy to sort of mastering these skills. And also, like you said, the music takes some time to get into and understand and feel it. But then if you're visually attractive, and then those people just wing from the first seconds, which is very important as a short form video. So it's still more equal, but more choices, more tunnels for sure. But it's still not as easy as what we thought.
Yeah. And this is something else. Even when you're going on your Spotify playlist, new artists come up, there's been a real charted effect of song length. People are making shorter songs now than they were ever before. Songs are way shorter because that's what Spotify algorithms tend to recommend. And if you make a song that fits within the criteria that the Spotify shuffle feature likes, then you're way more likely to get boosted and get put on more people's like playlists.
Right, I see. So that is probably the reason why you still think it is important for you to run a business and boost this brand to make this label get recognized.
Yeah, some of my favorite songs are like 20 minutes long, and it's like,
okay,
that's never gonna get recommended on streaming,
right,
but there's still a lot of people who would like to listen to it. And if there's a person in there doing the work to try to make that happen, more people can hear it.
You see this route. It's definitely from some successful format of how people run business. Could you share with us if you can think of any successful format of people run this business in the social media era, but then also can differentiate them or make them more competitive rather than the traditional industry?
Well, I really do think Kitty on Fire. That's like my go-to example. They're, I mean, they pushed Femtonal, Machine Girl. They just, it's about knowing what's good. There's a reason why most companies have a social media manager, you know?
Right. So they also have to leverage social media.
Yeah. The social media is just part of it now.
Okay.
It's inescapable. But
what other tools they need to use? Because it's not just, they run a business, they have to have some business skill set.
Well, right? It's being able to read the market, saying is, I mean, at the simplest level, are people buying more vinyl records, CDs, or cassettes? What's going to sell the most? How much do we order? Where do we distribute the stuff to? Where are the hot spots for fans of this stuff? Do they go to record stores or do they shop online? You know, it's just about determining who's going to be buying this stuff and how you can get it to the people who are most likely to buy it.
Like recognize people or humans' behaviors, their mm-hmm. behavior pattern, especially in this specific niche or market. How do they normally consume this product? How do they normally got distributed or exposed under? And then the business side, like what you think you would do, or this other business people who runs it. This is a different skill set than just being a professional musician, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot more technical knowledge to it, a lot of economics, a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, so how would you, like, what tools, except for social media, what tools would you pick up for being prepared to get into this business and trying to be successful?
Advertising. If you can do, if you're good at advertising.
Right.
I mean, obviously, social media advertising, website advertising. Mm-hmm. You ever go to like a lyrics website and they have the ads for a new album? Magazines, there's some online magazines that I read that I see ads for stuff on.
Right.
Just placing, like getting the idea of whatever band you're promoting to wherever people who want to see it are most likely to see it.
Like kind of find a way to match them in a not perfect way, but at least in the right way. So basically, I guess one important part to prepare you or people wanting to do certain things in their niche, in their field, is to match what's there and not seen to the market or potential audiences.
Find what the audiences are looking for and put it there.
Right. Find how to find it.
Yeah.
How to find what?
Well, there's marketing agencies for that. You can buy people's data from Google for like 20 cents.
okay.
It's, I mean, that's higher level stuff that
right.
I may not quite have a full suite of knowledge on. But,
right. I'm also just trying to brainstorm.
Yeah.
Because I think it could be an applicable experience to other people.
And definitely live shows. Doing
live
things
shows.
Live, performing in front of people
right.
is the way to do it. Putting your artist, that you're advertising wherever they want to, or wherever they could be.
Is there any AI tools in the modern business running format can be used?
In business, AI generally just works for very low-level things.
Mm.
Calculations and stuff, doing balance sheets and accounting, things like that. It can do stuff like that. It's not at a level where it can make managerial decisions like this, especially standard large language models like ChatGPT. They just don't have enough data to actually do it. And I personally, this is just a me thing, but I avoid AI when I can. It's not something that I try to put into things.
Right.
So I may not be the best person to ask that.
I see. Do you think being able to run this kind of business successfully, or at least more competitive than other groups, do you think which way is better? The first is to immerse in this community and knowing them, knowing the audience, knowing who's attending and who's playing, versus the second is that go to business school and learn how to run business.
You need to do both.
You need to do both.
You can't, if you want to be successful, you can't have one without the other. This is something,
right.
many record labels have been started by people who were only in the music scene.
Mm.
People who were like, hey, I want to try doing this. And sometimes it works, but a lot of the time it doesn't, because they just don't understand how to properly run a company.
Mm.
So you need to have the company knowledge, you need to know how to run a business properly in order to do it successfully. Conversely, if you're a business student who's not interested in that stuff at all, you don't know what the people want, you don't know what's hot, you don't know how you can promote this stuff successfully, so you really do need both.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think we need to be interdisciplinary instead of I'm just going to study mathematics or law. But nowadays, we need to leverage all those tools by being interdisciplinary educated. And yeah, I think that's very insightful. Thank you so much for joining our show today.
Of course. Great to be here.
Yeah, I love the conversation, and I think we learned a lot. At least I learned a lot. And maybe, hopefully, at one point, I will be able to attend those rock culture concert and not being like punched too much.
It'd be fun. You could always stand in the back.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned about that. You can always stay at the back. So if people who are interested in this culture and trying to make friends who are pretty compassionate, loving, and might be enjoyed it in the sad emotion. I'm just kidding. But then, you can always stay back and observe. Don't have to be so afraid of being pumping or pumped, right? All right. Thank you so much. And this is Coming Negotiator. Shout out to all the staffs in CJSF. And we will tune in and talk to you the next Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. Vancouver time.
是纯粹的想